We are bringing in the light. We are singing through the longest night. Keep the fire burning. Have faith, we are returning, returning to the light. The crescent moon curls just above the pines, and the northern star is anchoring the sky. Clouds are slowly lifting, the snow is faintly drifting, and the fields are dressed in icy shades of white. We are bringing in the light. We are singing through the longest night. Keep the fire burning. Have faith, we are returning, returning to the light. The glorious light, the glorious light. We are bringing in the light. Light a fire and let the smoke rise through the trees. Light a candle in an ancient prayer for peace. We will sing in celebration this hymn of invitation to awaken from our silent winter sleep. We are bringing in the light. We are singing through the longest night. Keep the fire burning. Have faith, we are returning, returning to the light. The glorious light, the glorious light. We are bringing in the light. And our journey through the dark goes on and on. Stand still for a moment, the spell of night is broken, and the darkest hour surrenders to the dawn. We are bringing in the light. We are singing through the longest night. Keep the fire burning, have faith, we are returning, returning to the light. The glorious light, the glorious light. We are bringing in the light. We are singing through the longest night. Keep the fire burning. Have faith, we are returning, returning to the light. The glorious light, the glorious light. Bringing in the light.
That's Gathering Sparks with Bringing in the Light, live at Folk Music Ontario for Folk Roots Radio. We're in our mobile studio that some people, I stress just some people, would say is just a hotel room. But by the time we bring some equipment in, and believe me, we have a lot of equipment in the room just now, it actually feels like a little bit of a studio. I'm joined by Gathering Sparks. They are Eve Goldberg and Jane Lewis. And Bringing in the Light is a new song, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, fairly new, and it's going to be on our new record coming up.
Now, does the new record have a name yet?
It doesn't. We're waiting to record everything and then decide what feels like the title should be. But we wanted to have everything recorded before we make that final decision.
I'm very excited to find out what that title is. That is a fabulous song. Now, I gather that is a song for the solstice. Is that right?
That was a winter solstice song, yeah. I just had the idea that I wanted to write a song for the solstice, and that is what came out. Yeah. So
Gathering Sparks are the graceful collision of Eve Goldberg and Jane Lewis. I love that way of describing your music. You've been making music together for quite a while. Now, Gathering Sparks was originally a trio with Sam Turton from Guelph also being part of the band.
Yeah.
But he left after the first album, and I think you have continued to make music together. You do sing-alongs together. You both teach music, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about How it works, where you both have solo careers, you both have a lot of other things you do, but then you come together as this wonderful vocal group and, you know, go to places like NERFA or Folk Music Ontario, or I know the Transact Club, I think in Toronto you do sing-alongs.
Yeah.
Why don't I hand it back to you and tell us a little bit about what Gathering Sparks means to you?
Well, it kind of grew out of, we both do lots of community music kinds of activities, creating places and spaces for people to make music together. And so we kind of recognized when we met each other and started getting to know each other that we had this common interest in supporting other people and making music, supporting other people and coming back to their music. And then we decided to do a gig together for fun. And as soon as we started singing together, we were like,
This feels good.
That feels really good. And that doesn't always happen. You can have two really good singers, but the voices don't always blend. And for some reason, like, we have two pretty different voices in some ways, but when we sing together, something happens that we really like. So that's kind of how it was.
I think
born.
That was the graceful collision part, that, because we didn't intend to be a band the first time we played together. It was a one-time gig.
Yeah.
That we thought maybe we should do this one more time, and then here we are six years later, I think. Yeah. So
when you were a three-piece, you know, with a male voice in there as well, and having seen you play as a three-piece and now as a two-piece.
Yeah.
Does it feel different not having that male voice as part of what you do?
Definitely. When we first realized that Sam wasn't going to be able to continue, we thought about, like, could we do this as a duo, or do we want to find a third voice? And
we assumed at first we would find a third person, and we did really like the blend of two female voices and a male voice. So I think that was our default assumption. We'll find a replacement. But I think some gig opportunities came up that we could do as a duo, and we thought, well, let's try it. And I definitely miss the third voice sometimes, but I also feel like when we do gigs, we often get people singing, and it feels like a full experience. So it's been working as a duo, and certainly makes packing the car easier.
And
that's
I think
true.
We should stress, I think haven't you been a duo more than you were actually a trio now?
Yeah, we have, I think so, which is
kind of, and the thing is, in terms of the vocal thing, what I actually like about the duo is that when you have three voices, you get locked into certain ways of doing the harmonies or whatever. With only two voices, a lot of things are more open. You can try different things that you might not do with three voices.
That's
one of the things that I'm really liking exploring with the two voices, is what can we do with two voices? And don't always do really standard harmonies and that's kind of interesting to both of us, I think. It's opened up some other possibilities, you know.
So you both have solo careers. I mean, Eve, you have been making music as a solo performer for what? I don't know how many, to
a
say
long
how many
time.
Years. A long time.
I don't even know how many years that would be, but longer than I like to admit. But these days, most of my performing is with Gathering Sparks. I don't do a lot of solo concerts and so on, because I get so much out of having a musical partner and doing things together and having the other voice and the piano. But if things come up, I'll do them. I played a festival this summer, and we both do go off and do teaching things in between performing. So we certainly have our own things that we're pursuing at the same time, and it kind of adds, to me, it adds to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We come back with...
Yeah, I would say the same. I don't... Solo-wise, there's only so many things we can fit into a month. So most of the gigs have been Gathering Sparks, and that's a lot of fun. It's nice to have somebody else in the car when you're driving places, and, you know, sharing the workload, but sharing the experience of the music is great. And so same. I do a little bit of solo stuff here and there, but mostly it's... teaching and Gathering Sparks.
Because your solo album, I loved. I mean, you had the solo EP and then the Jane Lewis album. Absolutely fabulous.
I agree. I want to be down on record saying
that. Yeah. Well, it was one of my favorite albums of the year. So
Thank you.
I remember that.
Thank you.
How does it fit from the songwriting point of view? Do you write individually, or are you able to write together?
Well, this project actually was started by co-writing. You know, we spent some time co-writing, which we hadn't done for the first recording. And so that was a new experience for us. And I think we're pretty happy with the results. So the new songs on new record will be mostly co-written.
Yeah, we sort of take, one of us will take ownership over a song. Whoever starts a song, it's kind of their song. But we did a lot of bringing the song to the other person and getting feedback or working on little bits together.
Workshopping and...
Yeah, you know. And for me, I feel like it really pushed me in a really good way in the songs. we joke about it on stage sometimes, but I think it really improved the songs a lot.
I like to think of it as encouragement rather than pushing. We encouraged each other to sort of take everything to the next level.
So starting off with Bringing in the Light, as we mentioned, a solstice song.
Yeah.
Was the intent when you created that song, because it's a community song, and it's probably a great song to probably start a concert with, or start a show, or a sing-along with. Was the intent to try and create that song that would be, you know, we are here together to celebrate this moment?
Yeah, I mean, that was, that we would call that Jane's song, because Jane was the one who started the song and was really took ownership over it. But
I don't know if I had that intention specifically when I was writing it. It was just more this idea. I wanted a song about the winter solstice. And that chorus came out, and I remember thinking, oh yeah, I think that'll work for people to join in singing with. But it wasn't a specific, that one, we have another song that we did have that specific intention for writing-wise. But yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just always in the back of our minds, because it's so much of a band principle or ethos to get people singing, that maybe it was in the back of my mind, but it wasn't the primary intention with that one.
Yeah. So you were playing keyboards on that song.
Yes.
Eve was on guitar, and we have wonderful to have so many instruments in the room here.
And we left one behind, so. Yeah.
Typically, piano is your instrument, right?
Yes, with accordion thrown in sometimes for variety, but mostly keyboard for me. Although I have started, we've got one song that when we play live, I play the ukulele, which is a new adventure for me.
I would imagine, and you know, playing with Eve Goldberg, who... I don't know, describe you as a master? Can I use the word master on the ukulele?
I would not describe myself that way when I watch other ukulele players that I would consider masters. But I have been playing ukulele for about 10 years now. I've played guitar since I was like 8 years old. So I feel like guitar is my main instrument. But, you know, I've definitely started playing more and more ukulele, and I teach a lot of ukulele. A lot of my teaching is ukulele classes and ensembles, and I'm starting to play at ukulele festivals and things like that, so which is a whole other world. And in fact, there's a ukulele festival going on in Guelph as we speak today.
But I think it's the first. Is that the first one?
No, this is the third one, actually.
Yeah.
So ukulele has become more and more part of what I do, and it's been really interesting to explore this other instrument. When I first started, it was like, okay, this is like a little guitar because it's related, and I can do this on it because I know how to do that on guitar. But the more and more I play it, the more I realize the unique sound and the unique possibilities of this instrument. So, and it's become a nice combination for us. We use it a lot. Jane's playing keyboard and I'm playing ukulele. It's a nice combination.
And every now and again, you let Jane play the ukulele.
I let her borrow my
just
ukulele.
Once, just once in a set, I get to play. Yeah.
That's right.
Do you feel happier having the keyboard? I get the impression that you really like to be behind the keyboard. There's a certain comfort level, you know, having that instrument to complement what you were able to achieve through your voice.
Yeah, I think it just seems to go together pretty well. I did start... when I started singing, I started just with voice and singing backup harmonies, actually. And so the keyboard came in a little bit later, but it is a comfort zone for me, for sure, to have.
But you played piano as a kid, right?
Yeah,
so I did. You had that in your...
Yeah, I had the foundation of piano, but in terms of bringing it into the music that I do now, was voice came first. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the neat things about Gathering Sparks is that you have the instruments, But you also have these two wonderful voices. And we're playing live here for Folk Roots Radio today. And I know one of the things you do love to do is to sing a cappella. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if I could get you to sing something a cappella for us now.
Yeah.
We definitely can do that. We have one or possibly two. Oh, no, actually, they didn't end up being a cappella on the record, did they?
On the record, there's going to be more, but when we perform them live without
another person.
Yeah,
we do a cappella.
Yeah. So the one we're thinking of is a song called You're My Sister, which I've been working on and Jane's been helping with for a couple of years. And it started actually thinking about the missing and murdered Indigenous women. But over time, as I was working on it, the Me Too movement developed, the whole case of Rehtaeh Parsons, and right now the Senate or the Supreme Court confirmation hearings are going on, and just watching Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and her courage in bringing her story forward. So it seems like this is a song for now. We're just really glad to have some kind of response that, you know, might be helpful.
Were you happy to do that for us just now?
Yes. We would be. This is called You're My Sister.
Gathering Sparks, live at Folk Music Ontario for Folk Roots Radio.
I'm going to say your name, you're my sister.
I'm going to break the shame, you're my sister. Not going to take the lie, raise your story high. I'm going to say your name, you're my sister. I'm going to clear the way, you're my sister. Going to let you have your say, you're my sister. The doors are swinging wide, room for all inside. I'm going to clear the way, you're my sister. We're on that forward track, never going back. I'm gonna sing this song for my sister.
My sister.
Gonna stand up and be strong for my sister.
My sister.
We don't have the choice, so I'm gonna raise my voice. I'm gonna sing this song for my sister. We're on that forward track, never going back.
Never going back.
I'm gonna say your name, you're my sister.
I'm gonna say your name, you're my sister.
I'm gonna break the shame, you're my sister.
I'm gonna break the shame, you're my
sister. Not gonna take the lie, raise your story high. I'm gonna say your name, you're my sister. We're on that forward track.
Never going back.
We're on that forward track.
Never going back.
Never going back.
Never going back.
Never going back.
We're never going.
We're never going back.
We're never going back.
Never going back.
We're never going.
We're never going back. We're never going back.
That's Gathering Sparks with You're My Sister, a cappella for Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. E. Goldberg and Jane Lewis are our special guests in the studio. We have keyboards, we have ukuleles, we have guitars, and then two fabulous voices. And I think that the voice is really an important part of the Gathering Sparks show, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we feel like we were talking before about how when we started singing together, how much we enjoyed that. But also Jane, a lot of her teaching and sometimes my teaching is around helping people free their voice or come back to singing. You know, so many people have been told that they shouldn't sing or that they have no talent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And for some reason around the voice, we feel like it's okay to tell people
not to sing.
Not to sing. And so part of our thing when we're performing or working with people is just to encourage people to sing and for fun and not worry about how quote unquote talented you are, you know?
So yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things, Jane, that because you mentioned before, right? When you started out, you were just singing backup.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you were able to come forward.
Yeah. And then, not totally shut down around my voice, but I definitely had a lot of discomfort expressing myself, singing in front of people. And so it's been a real process of getting more comfortable with my voice and kind of owning that I can sing and enjoy singing. And yeah, I would say it's been really life-changing for me to kind of get access to my full voice. And I really enjoy working with groups and kind of giving people a safe space to let that kind of thing happen for them as well. So a lot of my teaching is, let's come together, sing for fun, learn about singing, learn about how to sing harmony, but in that kind of space where it's safe and enjoyable rather than sort of a nerve-wracking experience or having to be perfect. So,
and as we mentioned at the start, sing-alongs are a big part of what you do. Can you talk about the live experience as far as Gathering Sparks is concerned?
Yeah, well, we sort of do in Toronto every month on the fourth Sunday of the month, we do what we call the sing-along soiree. So that's a thing that we do where it's a Gathering Sparks concert, but we pick songs, either some of our own songs, but like often they're some of our own songs, but we mix it in with songs that we know people will know or songs that we can easily teach people a chorus. And every song in the evening has a part that everybody can sing together. So it's a concert, but basically the whole room ends up singing together, and we love that. And we end up adding songs to our repertoire. So we do lots of other people's songs or traditional songs or all kinds of stuff. It could be like Motown or
The Beatles
or
James Taylor,
a 400-year-old ballad or a sea shanty or like all kinds of stuff.
Anything. Or we come to Folk Music Ontario and hear some amazing Canadian Ontario musicians and we think, oh, that would be a great song to teach people at the sing-along. And so we kind of also try to disseminate a little bit of Ontario and Canadian music to that group.
Yeah. So it's kind of all over the map, but people really love that. It just so
come we and have, sing for fun.
Yeah. So that's sort of different from when we do a Gathering Sparks concert. Usually when we do like Gathering Sparks in concert, it's mostly our own original material with maybe one or two of those things that we might do in a sing-along sort of interspersed. But
we do, our original music often has a sing-along component. So there are a lot of songs where we do invite our audience, even when it's specifically a Gathering Sparks concert, we do invite people to sing along. And we enjoy the energy exchange of doing that with an audience.
And it's like the Bringing in the Light that we started off with. I mean, that's obviously a perfect song to invite the audience to share with
you. Yeah, and people seem to catch on to it pretty quickly. So it's gratifying when that happens.
So the new album is nearing completion. Can you talk a little bit about the range of songs on that?
Well, we have...
It's not fully determined, actually, because we're recording more songs than are going to be on the album. So we're waiting to see. Our producer suggested we do that and wait and see how everything evolves in the studio, and then we'll put together the songs on the album based on the recording experience. So we're still in that process.
Yeah, but we have some things that are sort of... I would say there's some things that are kind of upbeat, like...
Sing-along.
Yeah, and there's some things that are kind of rock out a little bit, like folk out. I don't know. They're not too rocky, but they're, there's some drive and energy to them.
Yeah.
And then there's some things that are really contemplative, kind of internal,
introspective ballad type of thing. So I think there's going to be quite a range of songs on the record. Yeah.
So you're here at Folk Music Ontario this weekend.
Yes.
What are your plans for the rest of 2018 and extending into next year?
Well, we're hoping to have the album out. We are going to have the album out in the beginning of 2019 sometime. So the rest of the fall, we're teaching all fall, but in our in-between times, we're going to be recording and
finishing up the recording.
Finishing everything up. Yeah.
Preparing for that and sort of booking shows with the new recording is the plan for the fall.
And we're going to be doing some touring in the U.S. in the spring, March, April, May, etc. So we're getting that together, and we'll have some CD release concerts, which we don't have.
Which we will definitely let you know.
Yeah,
about
we'll let you know because they're not planned. Nailed down yet.
Yeah, I always feel a little nervous when I say, okay, what is the release date? And yes. What is happening after that? Because things can change.
That's
now,
right.
To be announced.
Yeah, yeah.
Eve, you're originally from Boston.
Yes.
Do you find going back down there, you know, now being, I'm assuming, a naturalized Canadian, but I don't even know if I'm asking too many personal questions here. But, you know, being able to bring music from here back down there, I mean, it must be something that feels real good for you to be able to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I haven't been back very much to the Boston area itself at all, really, because when my family moved up here, there was nobody left in Boston. But I sort of feel like because I grew up there, I have a lot of kind of affinity for the folk music scene down there. Like I grew up sort of being, my mom was a lifelong folkie and she was always dragging me to concerts as a kid. And so I kind of, the musical environment that I grew up with until I was about 14 was really this sort of New England folk music scene. So there's a certain kind of, yeah, I sort of feel like a certain kinship with that, you know. And it's a little bit different from the Ontario folk scene. So, yeah, when we sort of go down there, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember this, you know. Yeah,
well, it's such a vibrant folk scene in its own right. I mean,
oh, yeah, there's a lot going on there and sort of tapping into that and connecting with people and seeing everything that's going on, you know. It's kind of amazing because there's a lot of people that live down there. So there's a lot of folk music activity going on. And just like in Ontario, a lot of it is sort of under the radar. House concerts or church basement concert series, that sort of thing. So it's quite amazing.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to the new album that should arrive sometime, hopefully in the first half of 2019. You see,
definitely the first half.
Definitely the first half.
I think we could say confidently
that with some
say
certainty.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. If people want to learn more about Gathering Sparks, how can they do that?
We have a website,
GatheringSparks.com. Yep.
Yeah,
and Facebook,
Instagram,
Twitter.
Yeah. All of the usual places.
Yes.
We have time for one more song, and it's going to be another new song, which will be on the new album.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about this
one.
Yeah,
we're going to do the one that we did have the intention that we wanted it to be a sing-along. Like, let's write sort of the sing-along song for the album. So we haven't recorded all of it yet. We've recorded the bed tracks and we're going to get a big gang of people singing on it. So it will be presented on the album as a sing-along for sure. But yeah, I think this one started with the intention of writing the sing-along. And well, do you want to tell this story?
Yeah. So our name, Gathering Sparks, it took us a long time to find the name. And we were Googling, you know, now you have to Google when you come up with a name. You have to see, is anybody else using this name? And so we went through all kinds of names.
Yeah, I think a boy band in Korea, if I remember right.
there's always...
Probably. Yeah. So we finally landed on Gathering Sparks, and it didn't seem to be very much used. And we liked it. We liked the feel of it and kind of... But then we found out that in Jewish tradition, there's a sort of story about the origins of the world that... The world is broken, and part of our job in the world as human beings is the repair of the world, tikkun olam, and which is a beautiful idea that you know, I've heard many times before and always really liked. But what we found out was that one of the ways that story is told is in the form of a little fable or whatever about the world as a vessel of light, and it's been shattered and the sparks have been scattered everywhere, and our job is to gather the sparks. And we were like, oh, gathering sparks.
That kind of works.
We like that. That's kind of, even though we're not a Jewish band, we don't do any Jewish music at all.
And yeah, but, I'm not actually Jewish.
And Jane's not Jewish. But we thought, well, that's an idea that we really like as a band. So it's a great story. Yeah. So, Jane had this idea, like maybe we should do something that relates to that story. So that's kind of where this song came from.
Yeah. It's called, Many Sparks Make a Fire, and it ties into that. We tied it into that story idea. But we also wanted to have a song that was really hopeful and the idea that, you know, we all have a little bit of light, and if we bring it together, we can accomplish a lot. So we wanted to have that kind of uplifting, hopeful type of song. So
for these times.
For these times.
Yeah. These difficult times.
That's a perfect way to finish the interview. This is Gathering Sparks with Many Sparks Make a Fire. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, and I'm Jan Hall. And thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Many sparks make a fire, many hands lift us higher. Come on and share your light, burning through the night. Many sparks make a fire. Sparks make a fire, many hands lift us higher. Come on and share your light, burning through the night. Many sparks make a fire. Sparks make a fire, many hands lift us higher. Come on and share your light, burning through the night. Many sparks make a fire. Sparks make a fire. Shine.